Call the next case.
Fitzgerald versus Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, Benjamin B. Fitzgerald, Jean M. Irving for the appellant, COC Rogers County Attorney, Melissa R. Frank, Deputy County Attorney, Courtney R. Turner, Deputy County Attorney, Appellee.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, I am Ben Fitzgerald, the appellant, and I reserve 3 minutes. I sought an order pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act asking the Circuit Court to direct the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office to produce portions of its non-criminal incident file of the suicide of Charles D. Rikers on October 14, 2007, and the Loudoun County and the court ultimately ruled, denied my petition, finding that because the file was initially opened by the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office as a criminal investigative file, the requested records were part of a criminal investigative file, and therefore their release is not mandated pursuant to Virginia Code 2.23706A2C.
But on appeal, your request for relief is simply the suicide note, right?
Yes, Your Honor. We were provided a significant portion of the file in response to my letter. We did, in the petition for the writ of mandamus, we were seeking that letter.
So that's really the issue. We have to decide whether that letter should be produced or not produced.
Correct, Your Honor. We are not seeking the letters to the wife or the child, and we believe that is the only thing left in the file that we do not have.
How is the letter a compilation of anything other than a compilation of words?
Well, we requested a file. We wanted the entire file, Your Honor, with the exception of the letters to the wife and the child. I believe a compilation, when the term is not defined in the statute, the court looks to the ordinary meaning. And a compilation is a record.
Compilation is like a compilation of poems, one book with a bunch of poems in it, but they're all poems.
But a compilation is made up of separate poems, and we are seeking all of the documents that make up the compilation, save for the letter to the mother or the letter to the wife or the child.
But the statute says not compilations generally or abstractly. It says compilations of certain things. Compilations of non-criminal occurrences, plural. Not a single suicide note, which is, one, not a compilation at all, and two, not a compilation of multiple occurrences.
Your Honor, I respectfully say that the term compilation means it includes the group of things such as writings that have been gathered into a collection. I'm seeking this particular writing that has been gathered into a collection.
Well, if it meant just that, it would mean every file folder in the Commonwealth, because the folder includes documents and a compilation of documents. But here the statute says compilations of certain things. So compilation is a noun for something you've compiled, a verb, and what you're compiling that you would be entitled to under the statute is non-criminal occurrences. Well, obviously, the criminal investigation file is not a compilation of non-criminal occurrences.
Well, Your Honor, that is the heart of the matter, is that we've got to make sense of these three statutes, 2.23706A2A, 2.33706, that incorporates 15.217.22B. And the items have to be produced pursuant to 2.33706B, and they incorporate 15.217.22, the non-criminal records definition. And the General Assembly defines a non-criminal record as suicide. There is no conflict within the statute.
Again, I hate to keep arguing with you, but the standard is, under the statute, compilations, plural, of non-criminal occurrences. It's not a single letter of a non-criminal occurrence. And the letter is in a criminal investigatory file, which is presumptively protected. So where's the compilation of suicide notes? Where's the compilation of missing persons? Where's the compilation of lost and found property? Where's the compilation of accidental deaths?
Well, the letter isn't in a criminal investigative file. The trial court's ruling renders the statute meaningless if any death that's unattended will initially be investigated as a criminal investigative file. Once the determination is made that it's a suicide, it becomes a non-criminal incident. The whole purpose of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act was to...
If it existed outside a criminal investigation file, you might be able to get it, but it's in a criminal investigation file.
So,
And the only exception to that is a compilation. I still don't understand your argument. It's not a compilation. It's a document. It's a single document. It's a note. It's a compilation of letters which are compiled into words, which are compiled into sentences and paragraphs. But it's not a compilation of non-criminal occurrences. It's a suicide note.
It is a compilation. It makes up the compilation of the record that is related to a non-criminal case.
Okay, what is the compilation? Just tell me that.
Okay, the compilation consists of the entire file.
So the criminal investigation file
is... No, not the criminal investigative file.
Okay. What entire file?
There is no criminal investigative file regarding the suicide of Charles Rikers, because the Freedom of Information Act tells us that once it's been determined a suicide, it is now not a criminal investigative file, it is a non-criminal incident.
Well, if there were a compilation somewhere of suicides, and a compilation was made by one of the officers required to retain these records, then you'd be right. But this is not a compilation of suicides. It's a suicide note in a criminal investigation file.
Your Honor, if it is not a criminal investigative file, once there's a determination made that it's a suicide, pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act, that then becomes, it's taken outside of 2.23706A, and it's moved to B, which defines it incorporates the definition of a non-criminal incident. And it says that suicide is a non-criminal incident. And because suicide is a non-criminal incident, everything collected that led to the determination that it was a suicide is not part of a criminal investigative file, it's part of a non-criminal incident report. And that entire compilation, that entire record, is now available through a request of the Freedom of Information Act, which I made.
What entire record?
The entire record that went into the determination that it was a suicide.
Counsel. Ultimately, we have to harmonize the statute that you are relying upon with the statute that the county is relying upon. We have to harmonize FOIA in 2.2 with the public records provision that you are relying on in 15.2, do we not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. As we harmonize, there are certain statutory construction rubrics that we use, two of which that we use fairly often are that the specific trumps the general, the more recent in time trumps the later in time. Using those two rubrics, the county wins. Are there other rubrics that that would relate to what to your argument?
I respectfully disagree with Your Honor with regards to the idea that the rubric that if we apply the specific to the general, the county wins. The general is the criminal investigative file says that it's discretionary. Then the other statutory construction is we have to presume that the General Assembly knew the law and knew exactly what it was doing when it wrote this statute. And they understood that suicide was a common law crime when they wrote this. And since they wrote this new law in 1999, they've amended 2.23706 several times, and they have not once changed the definition of non-criminal incident. Each time, it has kept suicide in there. And so,
again, under compilation, and we've just heard 7 minutes of your argument with regard to the meaning of the term compilation. I want to move beyond the meaning of the term compilation, because Judge Brown made a finding of fact that this was a criminal file. Did he not?
Well, it's a finding of, I believe it was a finding of law, which this court can review de novo, is that he determined that once a sheriff opens a criminal investigative file, regardless of the finding.
He determined that once the sheriff opened this file, it was opened as a criminal file and that it has never been changed. Those are findings of fact. Are they not?
There was a finding by the chief medical examiner that is out on the police report that it was a suicide. So that I don't believe there was a finding of fact that it, at some point...
Did the sheriff open this as a criminal file, yes or no?
Yes, they did.
Did the sheriff ever change the designation of the file? No.
No, they did not.
Okay. It's a criminal file was the finding of fact by the judge. Based upon that finding of fact, we have to harmonize these two statutes in light of that finding of fact.
The Freedom of Information Act does not allow them to determine when they open the file what the file is going to be. With the exception...
That's right. There needs to be judicial review in what Justice the justice is asking you is there was judicial review, and the fact finder determined that there apparently was no subterfuge going on here, no bad faith, hide the ball. It was opened up as a bona fide criminal file. It ended, like many criminal files end, without prosecution. But so what?
Well, that gets to the issue, Your Honor. There was a finding that it was a suicide, which is a common law crime. But the conflict is between the statute and the common law. It's not a conflict within the statute. We have the general provision that a criminal investigative file is discretionary. We have the specific provision that a suicide for this statute is a non-criminal incident and it shall be released. And it is not discretionary for the sheriff's office, regardless of what he calls the file.
So determining whether or not it was a homicide or determining whether or not it was a suicide, and that determination being made in a criminal context, loses its character as a criminal document in a criminal investigatory file? Well, just because suicide is no longer punished?
It has nothing to do with whether suicide is punished. It has what to do with the General Assembly wrote in the Freedom of Information Act. It wrote that for the purposes of the Freedom of Information Act, suicide is a non-criminal incident, and it is not discretionary. The records related to that suicide will be produced
when
to the
public. When you say that,
when
you're talking about it's a non-criminal incident under 1722, which is the retained records statute. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that the statute incorporates the definition in 15.2, 1722.
Right, but 1722 is not you get suicide notes. It is you get compilations of suicides in your jurisdiction, compilations of lost property, missing persons, accidental deaths. So I'm not following what you're saying, and I've read your brief carefully to see if I was missing something. Where does it say you just get suicide notes? Because suicide is no longer a common law, no longer a statutory crime, according to you.
My initial request was for the file, the compilation of the record. In the process of going through this, they've provided me much of the record. I still want all of the record, save for the letters to the wife and child.
So if your argument is correct, you would have the right to the letters to the wife and the child. Correct.
Subject to the provision that they could be redacted for privacy or safety reasons. Yes.
No, if it's a compilation and suicide note to the boss, suicide note to the wife, suicide note to the children are all compilations under your analysis, then there's no exception under that. It has to be produced under 1722.
No, there's an exception in 2.23706B, Your Honor. It goes on to say you produce these records save for there can be redactions for privacy or safety concerns. That's built into the statute. That's provided. That's the guidance provided by the General Assembly. May I reserve the last 2.5 minutes for my...
Yeah,
thank
two
you.
Minutes and 26 seconds.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Courtney Sittner. I'm here today on behalf of the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office. I want to start out with something that Mr. Fitzgerald was talking about, what the justices were also asking about, a potential conflict in the statute, and how do we harmonize these different provisions. I would submit to you that there is no conflict between 2.2-3706A2A, which is the exemption for criminal investigative files, and 2.2-3706B, which is the provision that says that records retained pursuant to the provision in Title 15.2 must be are made subject to FOIA. In fact, that is what the language of 3706B says. It says that, by reference to 15.2-1722, says those records that are required to be maintained under that statute shall be subject to the provisions of this chapter. It does not say that they shall be released. And this court, just I believe in 2013 in Harmon versus Ewing, ruled, interpreting that very same language under the prior provision of this code section, said that that formulation of shall be subject to the provisions of this chapter means shall be subject to all of it. It means you are subject to the disclosure requirements and to the exemptions. And so clearly, when the General Assembly intends to make a release mandatory, they knew how to do so. Because, for example, they did so in 2.2-3706A1, which provides that certain type of records are, quote, unquote, required to be released. That's a mandatory disclosure. That's what that looks like. 3706B does not contain that language at all. So I submit that there is no conflict in the statute here. And the way you harmonize these provisions is that, so you look at 3706B, which is the provision that Mr. Fitzgerald is relying upon, that says shall be subject to this statute. So then you go back to 3706A, which actually has the disclosure requirements and other exemptions, and see, is there an exemption that would apply to this? And the answer is, yes, there is an exemption that would apply to it. And that exemption is found in 3706A2A, I believe I'm getting all of my numbers mixed up, but that's the criminal investigative file exemption, which says it's criminal investigative files are exempt from this provision, however, they may be released at the discretion of the sheriff's office. There's also a detailed definition of criminal investigative files, which includes all documents related to the criminal investigation, including evidence, for example, among other things. This letter, which Mr. Fitzgerald seeks, is a piece of evidence that was collected by the sheriff's office from the Reeker home during the course of their investigation into Mr. Reeker's death. I was prepared to point to the court today several provisions in the appendix, specifically at pages 24 to 36, which is the collection of sheriff's reports that are provided in the record, where it's established that supports the factual finding that Judge Brown made that this was a criminal investigative file. I think based upon the colloquy that occurred, that's not necessary, because I think I don't believe that.
But you would accept, would you not, that there has to be, you know, I smell a rat exception somewhere. There needs to be some judicial review of the affected official's determination of what the file is or isn't. So if there were truly, I mean, a real compilation of suicides, a database, an Excel sheet of suicides and all the summary details, if there were a true compilation and it was put in a file for the purpose of keeping it private, then judicial review would permit a trial judge to say that's not right, it's not properly part of the file.
I think that's appropriate, yes, but I don't think that's a situation we have.
So there's no worst-case scenario here. It's not like government can hide stuff if the court, upon reviewing it, realizes, you know, you deliberately tried to keep this from FOIA.
No. The sheriff could not do that, but that's not what's occurred here. Mm-hmm. The information that's in that file is specifically the record that Mr. Fitzgerald is seeking is a piece of evidence that was collected by the sheriff's office. I mean, fire and rescue responded to the scene. They determined that Mr. Reeker was deceased. Several sheriff's deputies came on the scene. They conducted a security sweep of the home. CID officer, criminal investigative division officer, came in and took control of the scene. He contacted Mrs. Reeker by phone because she was out of town, had the unfortunate duty of informing her of her husband's death, and then also having to ask her for permission to search the house and seize any evidence related to the death in the course of their death investigation. And he explained to her procedures that they follow in a death investigation. She gave that consent. Officers went into the home, collected evidence, among other things, these suicide notes that you've heard about and other things. A CSI officer, that's how he's referred to in the various sheriff's reports, photographed the scene and actually collected the evidence. Items taken from the home were submitted for fingerprint analysis. The medical examiner conducted a full autopsy on Mr. Reeker's body. Because she found lower levels of carbon monoxide in his body than presumably she would have expected, she asked for additional information about his vehicle, specifically vehicle emissions. The detective from the CID unit followed up on that inquiry. So there was a full and thorough criminal investigation. In fact, in various places in the sheriff's reports, and these are contemporaneous reports that they made either on the date or in the immediate days following, they refer to it as a crime scene. So in all instances, they treated this as a criminal investigation. They did everything that you would expect officers to do as a course of a criminal investigation, and the investigation was not closed until such time as the medical examiner ultimately made the determination and ruling as to the cause of death. And I think Judge Brown got it exactly right when he said this opened as a criminal investigative file, and so that does not change because later it's determined that it was a suicide or some other cause of death that's not going to lead to prosecution. You don't change it midstream. Now, if there had been some evidence or documents or records that had been collected after that determination had been made and after the criminal investigation had concluded, That would be a different matter. But this particular record, and indeed all of the evidence that they collected from the house, was collected on the day of the incident. So at the outset, that's how it was treated when it was collected, and that was the nature of this investigation. I'm sorry, I felt that maybe you had a question, Justice Lemon's neck. Okay. I just also want to pick up on a point that Justice Kelsey was making about what is a compilation. And I would agree that 3706B does not require the disclosure of every single document related to a suicide. And indeed, that's the, I think as you were alluding to, the source statute, which is 15.2-1722, which of course is a records retention statute, with respect to non-criminal incidents, requires sheriffs to maintain a compilation of occurrences. And that is distinguished from some of the other definitions within that same statute, which talks about where it's asked for investigative records, which they define as reports of systematic inquiries or examinations. So basically, investigative reports. Or arrest records requires them to retain a compilation of information, and then it specifies a particular type of information here. If it meant
foul jacket, then the entire discussion of our Tull case in 1998 was superfluous, because the court went to great lengths to point out that the various radio signals that were recorded and compiled into a single thing of one body of information of various occurrences was a compilation. So it has to mean something other than a document or a file jacket somewhere.
And I think I agree with that. And I also think that with reference to those rules of statutory construction that were alluded to before, we presume that the General Assembly, when they use different words, particularly when they use different words in the same part or in different parts of the same statute, they did so deliberately. In 15.2-1722, with respect to each of the different types of records that they are defining, they use different words when they said, this is what you have to maintain. And again, even within 2.2-3706, they use different words. In 3706A, they say, shall be released, or is required to be released. Or in A2, they say, is excluded, but may be released at the discretion of the sheriff. 3706B does not say anything about release. It simply says shall be subject to the provisions of this chapter, and this court has already determined that that means both the disclosure requirements and the exemptions. And so I submit there is no conflict here. What you do to harmonize, to the extent you perceive any conflict at first reading, is you look to the disclosure requirements in 3706A1 as well as the exemptions. And if you agree with Judge Brown's factual determination that this was, in fact, opened as a criminal investigative file, then those records contained in that file, including the letter that Mr. Fitzgerald seeks, are subject to disclosure only at the discretion of the sheriff. And as I said, I believe there's ample evidence in the record, particularly appendix pages 24-36, that established that this was, in fact, a criminal investigation for all of the reasons that I said. So unless the court has any further questions, I'll conclude and just ask that you affirm the decision of the Loudoun County Circuit Court.
Thank you. Rebuttal? 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Your Honor, the purpose of this statute is to promote broad access to public records by presuming that all public records are open unless an exception, which is to be narrowly construed, applies. If you read what the trial court's judgment essentially renders the exception meaningless, in that any time a criminal investigative file is opened for lost property or a suicide or a missing person, until they close that criminal file, nothing can be looked at. It is off limits to the public. And if that exception is that broad, then 2.23706B, which specifically provides that non-criminal incident records are available subject to redaction, if it is truly discretionary, they
it,
would not
it doesn't say that. It says compilations of non-criminal occurrences. It doesn't say all criminal records. It defines records as
but these aren't criminal records, though. I guess.
All non-criminal records. I mean, your whole argument appears to be suicide is no longer a crime, which is itself a separate debate. And secondly, this is a record of a suicide. Well, the answer is so what? It has to be a compilation. of multiple suicides to be subject to the statutory disclosure rule. But I don't hear you addressing that, unless I'm misreading the statute.
You're saying that I could only request multiple suicides?
Saying under the statute you get non-criminal incident reports, which is defined as compilations of non-criminal occurrences.
Including missing persons, lost in property,
right. So
suicides?
So a suicide note by one person to another person, how is that a compilation of non-criminal occurrences?
It is part of the record that the police, that the public body gathered, that pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act, because they want open access to public bodies, I can get if I make that request. It's not discretionary to the sheriff. It doesn't matter what they opened the file as or if they ever closed it. It's independent upon what the sheriff office thinks, because the General Assembly has provided us a definition for what they consider to be files that are open to the public.
Counsel, page 14 of the joint appendix. You requested, if graphic photographs are a part of the responsive records, yes, I would like to receive them. Did you receive the graphic photographs?
I do not recall, Your Honor.
I don't know. I would think if you got graphic photographs, they'd be imprinted in your memory. But anyway, I take you for your word. If your argument is correct, you would have to receive the graphic photographs. Is that correct?
Subject to privacy or safety redactions that are provided for in the statute.
Okay.
That not only the sheriff could make, but then also a judge could make as to what was appropriate to share.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call the next case.